Welcome to Real Talk Wrestling. I'm your host, Josh. With me, Chris Kaufler, the ultimate babyface. He cannot wait for the return of Jungle Boy Jack Perry, because we all know he's taking the title from Chris as the number one babyface in the wrestling community. What is going on, Chris?
Oh, not much. Just hanging in there, man. Staying busy, as always. Not much.
We have a lot to talk about tonight, and also a little to talk about. Mainly, we're going to cover CM Punk and his firing, because we haven't talked about that yet. We're going to talk about the new tournament, the tournament of the month. There's always a tournament going on in AEW, so we're going to talk about that tournament. We're going to talk about possibly the finals being Samoa Joe versus, I don't know. I haven't seen the bracket. I mean, I saw the bracket, but it's a joke. And we're also going to talk about Orange Cassidy and the irrelevant international championship that the John Moxley has. But before we get into that, we're going to be find us on X, as Chris has right here. RTW Chris, me at Josh Kimmel LUS. Always talking about AEW and professional wrestling. And I'm about had enough of you people telling me that this 81,000 people in Wembley was a lie, that there wasn't that many people because they're only selling 4,000 people in Indiana or whatever. Listen, it's not the same. It's not the same. Wembley was a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
No.
Guys, chill. Close. It's not like there's 81,000 that's going to go to a wrestling show every single night. It's almost impossible. So everyone needs to chill on that. In the middle of the week. Stop rooting for people to fail. It's not cool, man. Speaking of rooting people to fail, CM Punk was fired after his incident, after lunging after Tony Khan. A lot of people thought Tony Khan was overdramatic with his speech, with his little spiel. His life was in danger. All the years of producing a wrestling show, it's the first time he's ever had his life in danger. What do you think about that?
I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, life in danger. But I don't know. We don't know what was going on back there. Was it actually in danger? Probably not. I'm sure there was maybe some other people around that wouldn't have let too much happen. But it seemed like a little much. But at the end of the day, I'm glad that decision finally got made, because it needed to be made. It had to be made. A lot of people are saying, oh, you're going to lose viewers. Maybe they do in the short term. But it's basically, I see it as, who do you want? Do you want Punk? Or do you want this whole list of wrestlers? Because you're not going to get both. Because if you keep this guy, you're going to lose all these people. Eventually, they're going to start saying, you know, I don't want to be around. Think about it. You got a really toxic coworker, but they're, you know, very loud and in your face. And after a while, you're like, it's not worth it. This isn't worth the paycheck I'm picking up anymore. I can go work for that other company over there, this one or that one or that one, and hope that they don't have someone like this. It's not a guarantee, but at least it's a guarantee here that there is someone like that. So, yeah, they might lose some viewers, but I think the product will be better.
So we talked about the incident. We talked about there's three different stories: him choking out Jack Perry, him lunging at Tony Khan, screaming "I quit," and I think there was one more where Jack Perry started the fight. Listen, it doesn't matter what happened. It did. Something happened of that nature. I believe CM Punk did sucker punch Jack Perry. I do believe that he attacked Tony Khan, or at least got in Tony Khan's face with the intent not to attack, but got in his face. To pretty much tell him, this is my show. I am surprised they let him go out and wrestle after that. I'm surprised that CM Punk did everything he did. You can tell now, looking back at that match, you can tell CM Punk knew he was done. He didn't care. He was going to do whatever he wanted. And that was it. Done and done. Now, beyond that, I am so confused. And I know nobody's bringing this up. I brought it up a few times, and I'm not trying to say that I'm a genius, because I'm not. But why does, because this has nothing to do with being smart. Why do you see CM Punk defenders, the Jim Cornettes, the people out there who are like, AEW, they should have fired Jack Perry. They fired the wrong guy. AEW is a joke. Why are you so worried that they fired CM Punk? You don't like the product. Okay. For example, I love Aaron Rodgers, right? We all know this. Now, if I was a hardcore idiotic fan that just died with my team and thought that my team cared about me so much, right, like a lot of people do, I would be like, Aaron Rodgers is the bad guy, right? Get him out of New York, or I would hate him because he's on a team that I don't like. So you love CM Punk and you trash AEW. Your king is now off of that company. He can do whatever he wants. Why are you worried about this? Why are you so like, Tony Khan should have fired Jack? So you were watching AEW, hating the product, hating it so much. But when CM Punk gets fired, you're so up in arms about it. Chill the fuck out. Go watch him in TNA. Go watch him in WWE. This should be good for you because now you don't have to watch the product.
Yep.
I just don't understand the logic of, oh, AEW's a joke. Tony Khan's a joke. Jack Perry's a joke. They should have... You should be happy he's not there anymore, that you don't have to sit through the 2 hours of Collision, the 2 hours of Dynamite. Right? Am I crazy? Because nope. No one brought this up.
You're spot on. I think it's just so many people, like he's touched on just a minute ago, everyone wants to see AEW fail. So they're just, anything that they can point at, anything that they can say is, you know, oh, this is wrong, I don't like that. It's because they're just trying to point out as many flaws as they can. But yeah, that's very true. Like, I'm sorry, obviously we don't watch as much WWE these days. It's just not as entertaining. But if there was a guy over there, let's say one of my favorites, Sami Zayn, and they gave him the boot, I wouldn't be pissed. I'd be ecstatic. I'd be like, awesome. Now I don't have to go watch that product to find his 10 or 15 minutes on the show, and maybe he's going to end up on the show I actually watch. I'd be ecstatic about it. So yes. I don't get that people are mad about it. Like you said, they should be thrilled.
And I bring it up on Twitter all the time. I'm like, hey, why are you so mad that they fired CM Punk? He didn't deserve it. Tony Khan's a joke. He's a mark. Okay, so you didn't like the product. So why are you watching?
No.
They can't answer. Nobody could ever answer. No. It's because they love the product. They do watch the product. They find it interesting, and they just want something to complain about. That's all Twitter is. That's all fandom is. I do the same thing. I complain all the time. We know. Everyone knows. The funniest part about this whole situation is the total 180 on my reaction and thoughts on Jack Perry. How is he going to come back as a heel? We heard the chants in Chicago during All Out, which we didn't order All Out. I didn't even watch 1 second of it. I have no idea. I know what happened because I watched Dynamite. Nope. But I watched Dynamite right before this show tonight, actually. I fell asleep during Nick Wayne's. I do not give a fuck about this kid in this tournament, in Darby Allin. So I fell asleep during the main event. I have no idea who won. I'm assuming Darby Allin won. But I will say this. I lost my... Oh, Jack Perry. They were screaming Cry Me a River. They were chanting Cry Me a River during the All Out pay-per-view in Chicago. There was reports that Tony Khan was not letting fans in wearing a CM Punk shirt. Pro CM Punk signs. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about this at all?
I thought I saw something about the signage. I didn't hear anything about the shirts, though.
I heard they made fans turn their shirts inside out and then take away the signs. First off, it's weird. AEW sold those shirts. That's AEW merchandise. You're telling an AEW fan base you can't wear the shirt. That's kind of odd. Your product is, this is a negative on AEW. Your product is like pro whatever you want to be, or the alternative. You're a fan, do whatever you want. I'm not okay with Tony Khan doing this, but I'm just going away from my part. Jack Perry's going to come back a fucking hero. He's going to come back a hero. The fans are going to cheer him. They're going to be chanting his name. I don't understand how they're going to make him a heel after this. I just can't see it. I can't.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. Like, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, I would imagine now, I mean, if even in Chicago, if people were turning against Punk anywhere you go now, he's going to be the ultimate babyface. It was kind of like what happened in a sense to Braun Strowman years ago. Remember, he was supposed to be the big monster heel and he was the heel nonstop. And then they put him against Roman. And so like something happened and they got the complete opposite reaction. Then he became the most over babyface. So yeah, this is different. The different, but the same in the fact that something happened they didn't plan on, and now it's completely flipped his character.
I guess they're going to have him suspended so long that we forget about it. I don't know how they're going to work it, but I'm into it. I can't wait for his return. I'm anticipating his return. I cannot wait to hear, here's what I want. And I know it's not going to happen because Tony Khan is not that petty, but the Bucks are. The Bucks are 1,000%. I would love for Look in my eyes. What do you see? Then the Cult of Personality plays and fucking Jack Perry walks out. Steal the fucking song. I would love nothing more. He would get an ovation like no other. It'd be like Stone Cold came out. Am I wrong? Wouldn't that be super fucking cool?
It would be hilarious. Man, it would be super confusing. Like, we'd hear the song and we'd be like, what the fuck is happening right now?
And then Jack Perry comes out being all cocky and shit. Like, that would be pretty cool. I'm into that, but it's not going to happen.
No,
I don't think they're going to. People were complaining a lot about the investigation. Tony Khan was right there. Tony Khan, what investigation? They got cameras everywhere. This is where the internet and wrestling fans are fucking stupid. Chris, why do you think there was an investigation? Why do you think they went all the what took so long to make a decision? What do you think? So I've never asked somebody and then they never gave me an intelligent answer back.
I mean, with anything, you got to investigate because there's always different sides to the story. What people really saw, what they thought they saw, like, different people are going to have different recollections of the story. So you got to do your due diligence. And because this was such a big name firing, you can't just go into it on a whim.
There was no investigation. There was no investigation.
You don't think there was anything done?
Tony, no, there was something done. People don't understand. You can't just say, hey, CM Punk got into a fight. He's fired. You need to talk to your lawyer. You need to break down the contract. You need to see, how do I get out of this contract without paying CM Punk after I fire him? How do I avoid a lawsuit for, you know, wrongful firing? This took a week of him and his lawyers reading contracts and trying to figure out a way to fire CM Punk with cause, because he said that multiple times.
Yeah.
Same usage they used when they fired Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. Fired with cause, and they didn't owe Urban Meyer any money. That's what the investigation was.
But you don't think there was any investigation internally to try and gather the facts to bring to the lawyer, though?
They were there. Everyone was there. Tony Khan was there, CM Punk, Samoa Joe. Everyone was there. There's no investigation. We're all there. We know what happened. Cry me a river. Hey, you got a problem? You got something to say to me? Gets in his face, sucker punch, puts him in a choke. Samoa Joe, everyone breaks it up. Then CM Punk runs at Tony Khan. That alone. If I went face to face with my boss, the fuck do you think is going to happen? Anyone. Yeah. Fired. But they had to make sure the legal right, they had a legal reason or right to fire him with cause. I guarantee he's not getting paid anything else. I think that the contract's ended. I think that CM Punk wanted to get fired or didn't want to be there anymore. And he was trying to find out or find a way. I mean, come on. Think about it. Ever since he's been back, poking the bear Adam Page after a show, talking shit about not about the Young Bucks because he's not allowed to, but he's been causing problems on the low for so long, ever since he's come back.
No.
He was trying to get fired. All right. Am I crazy?
No, it makes sense. And now all of a sudden, all these reports are coming out about how he was contemplating going back to WWE and the Royal Rumble and a program with Kevin Owens and everything. So now he's free to do that. Go do it. Well,
that's my point. Is he really wanted to go back to WWE and he still does. People are saying it's never going to happen. Burn too many bridges over there. People forget. People forget this. And I don't know how they forget it. Vince doesn't own the WWE anymore. Triple H does not own the WWE. Nope. Endeavor owns the WWE. If they want CM Punk, they will go get CM Punk. And Vince and Triple H in that locker room has no say. Yeah. So I do see CM Punk signing with WWE. I do see him showing up. I do see him being there. I don't know how long. I don't think there's a non-compete because he got fired. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
But I expect him to be there this year, before the end of the year, before the Royal Rumble. I really do. There's no way Endeavor in WWE is stupid enough to miss this. Yeah. I don't know.
I wouldn't be shocked either. I don't think it's ever never, you know, never say never. Nothing's impossible for them to do. Think of some of the other people in the past that we thought the bridges were burnt one way or the other, and they still showed up on WWE.
Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Ultimate Warrior.
Prime examples.
You know,
isn't Hulk Hogan on their webpage and off their webpage like every other month?
Yeah. Hogan, another one. And then, you know, CM Punk's just another spoke in the wheel that, hey, come back, make us money, sell some merch, have a couple matches, done and done. Like, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. Like, let's think about Cody Rhodes. I was on this podcast telling everyone, it's not happening. It's not happening. There's no fucking way he'll ever go back. He did.
Yep.
He sucks now. I just want to let everyone know that Cody Rhodes sucks. Every time I see him on TV, it's cringe. It's awful. He's terrible.
Bad on the mic or bad in match? I haven't really watched him at all over there other than his debut, but
he's just
bad on the mic, bad matches. Is he just not?
You know, the whole, what do you want to talk about? That was like good once in a while. It's every fucking show.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
I think even he said he's tired of doing that, didn't he? Or do they just keep having him do that?
They just keep on having him do it. And then he's having these pointless matches with Brock Lesnar. That's finally over. Now he comes out on Payback and says, Hey everyone, I'm Cody Rhodes and I'm Jey Uso's coming because I said so to Raw. What the hell's going on? And then Michael Cole, well, he was an EVP. That's what Michael Cole said on live TV.
Really?
So, yeah.
So they acknowledged the other company.
No, they just said he's an EVP. He was an EVP.
Yeah, I'm saying they acknowledge. Normally, whenever they were talking history of wrestlers, they just skip right over that period.
They didn't say of where, why.
No, but they usually just say, oh, yeah, he's been out of wrestling, or, you know, we haven't seen him since. No, we all saw him. I mean, he was just on a different channel.
So
they usually just skip right over that part.
You don't watch WWE, but in the fact that Punk does go, would you watch the debut of Punk on Raw or SmackDown or whatever occasion it is? I think he's frozen or is thinking.
I would probably watch it to see what he says. No, we're a little off right now because mine froze a second ago. So bear with me while it catches back up. But I would watch it, his debut, if I knew it, when it was going to happen. Or if I missed it, yes, I would go watch on Twitter because I would be interested in what he has to say if they let him go say it, which I don't know. Maybe they give him a little more room to talk because he's going to be bashing the competition, their biggest competition that they've had since WCW days.
So CM or Sports Illustrated came out, or somebody came out and said that CM Punk's about to talk, drop a bombshell. It's going to be very, you heard that, right? It's going to be very impactful. So I think he's going to have to say whatever he wants to say. I don't know where it's going to be. Maybe it's an interview with Sports Illustrated. I don't know where. I don't know what he could possibly say to drop a bombshell. What could he possibly say? I'm just curious on his side. Like, hey, I punched someone in the face multiple times at work and I got fired. So, damn. Like, what could you say?
I think he's going to talk about how things are behind the scenes. Going to try and expose things. Maybe we speculate, you know, what's going on. You've made the statement before that the inmates are running the asylum and it can't be that way. And I think he'll try to expose that. I think he'll exaggerate it, but I think he's going to try and talk about any dysfunction, anything going on behind the scenes, try and air any of their issues.
Ace Steel was fired today or yesterday. Saw that.
Good. I didn't even know he was not fired at this point. I thought he was long done.
No, he was hired back when Punk came back, but as a consultant, and he couldn't show up to shows. He had to be like an offshore, like a stay-at-home consultant or something. I have no idea, but he finally got fired because, you know, CM Punk got fired. So that is what it is. Hey, we're going to leave the CM Punk news in the past. It's over. It's over until he drops his little pipe bomb bullshit. Yeah. But I do want to pivot into this Grand Slam World Title Eliminator Tournament, another tournament that means nothing because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people are in this tournament out of 8 that I have zero idea or zero chance of winning this thing. Zero. Less than zero, actually. If you look at Nick Wayne, 0%. What has he ever done?
He lost.
Okay. Let's go down the tournament. They had Darby Allin and Nick Wayne. And this is for a shot against MJF at Grand Slam coming up later.
Which, can I comment one thing before we go through the names?
Of course.
Looking at these names, what do you notice right off the bat, just at a quick glance about these names?
Jobbers.
For a world title opportunity. Like, it's not even like sprinkled in of, you know, a Moxley, Danielson,
Claudio,
like no,
like even Claudio, even a Wardlow, or even a Miro, or Andrade,
yes,
Malakai,
yes,
Brody King.
This all feels like people, like I looked at the bracket, and I'm like, it's kind of underwhelming.
Yes, so let's go through it. It's Darby Allin versus Nick Wayne in the first round. Darby Allin won in the main event. So I could definitely see him get a title shot against MJF, but he just got one, right?
In the Fatal Four, it's not him.
And what has Nick Wayne ever done to be in a tournament for a World Heavyweight Championship? What has he ever done?
He's got some good connections, I guess, to be in a championship tournament, being, what, 2-0 or 1-1? Or I don't even know what his record is because they don't really do the record thing anymore.
Nope. Okay, then on the bottom side of the bracket, Trent Beretta of the Best Friends. Again, what has he done all year to deserve this? He's won one match.
Yeah, he's been in tag matches.
So, okay. And then you got Roddy Strong, who, again, what has he done to get here? Nothing.
He's friends with the guy who's friends with the champion. It's like someone, your friend getting you a job.
So Roderick Strong advances and he faces Darby Allin on Collision this Saturday night.
Yep.
All right. On the other side of the bracket, Penta El Zero Miedo, right? I like him. I think he's awesome. I think he's great. I love Penta. But again, what has he done to get the spot?
Nothing.
Against Jay Lethal, a jobber in a jobber TNA squad.
Yep.
Stable. What has he done? I'm going to ask everyone, what has he done to get here? Nothing. Okay. All right. Moving on. Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy. What has Jeff Hardy done? And I'm going to say this. I love Samoa Joe. I think this is going to be a great match against MJF. What has he done to earn a tournament appearance? Because he's done nothing but lose ever since we've seen him feud against CM Punk. He's a loser. He's lost.
No.
So what has he done? So this whole eight people over here have done nothing to earn their spot. You could have Takeshka. Look, if you want to forward the Kenny Omega Takeshka feud, boom, put them in the bracket together. Make him face off in the semifinals. I don't know, right? At least you got some star power. Adam Hangman Page and Swerve, you want to get them in a program. We saw them last night cut a promo on each other. Make that feud start in the tournament.
Yes. Right? Same thing. Put some stars in there.
Make this tournament watchable, because right now it's just a vehicle to get Samoa Joe to MJF at Grand Slam. You might as well have MJF come out and say, hey, Joe, you can only fight me if you wrestle five of these guys I pick. The same old thing. This is basically the same thing, except for MJF's not picking the guys.
So the only thing that I wasn't sure on is, was it going to be Roderick Strong or was it going to be Samoa Joe? I was leaning more Samoa Joe, with Roderick Strong right below him. No, anyone else, I don't think anyone else even has remotely of a shot. I didn't think they were going to use a tournament to get the story going with Samoa Joe and MJF whenever they had, you know, the moment that they had in NXT or whatever, however many years ago, and then they did a little callback to it on the pay-per-view. Like, I figured that was what they have now is enough to start a program. Why do we need a tournament to get there? Doesn't make any sense. Tournament's good whenever you've got nothing going on and it gives a start to a story, but they've already got a start. So if it does end up being Samoa Joe, why are we even wasting our time on this tournament?
I 1000% agree. But so you think Roddy Strong has a chance? I think he's going to be in the finals. See, that's hard because it's heel versus heel. But again, AEW does this all the time. Right, they don't care babyface versus baby. They just do this stuff all the time. We saw Darby Allin versus Nick Wayne, babyface versus babyface.
Yeah.
Now, this can forward the feud between Adam Cole and Roddy and MJF, and it could also forward the Samoa Joe thing. So if Roddy wins and he faces MJF at Grand Slam, first off, that's not going to sell tickets. The Grand Slam is struggling to sell tickets. They've only had 4,000 sold. I just saw the numbers. They sold 20,000 their first time ever being there. So obviously numbers are down, right? You're not going to sell a main event with Roderick Strong in MJF. You will sell tickets Samoa Joe versus MJF. That will sell tickets. So I think that's going to be the winner. But if you have Roderick Strong versus MJF, that can forward the feud with Adam Cole. And maybe this is where we finally see some sense of a turn, because I think eventually Adam Cole is going to turn heel.
Yep.
And I think eventually Adam Cole will take that title from MJF. And we're going to see a babyface MJF just trying to get back up.
We already see a babyface.
Hold on. What I mean is Chase. We're going to see a babyface Chase.
Okay. I was about to say, because I think he's already a babyface now.
He is. He is the biggest babyface in the company. That's not Jungle Boy right now. But the funny thing about MJF is he's like a Stone Cold. He's in the middle. He still does mean things. He still does questionable things, but he gets away with it because he's, our scumbag.
Yep.
So I do love this character. I think this character's awesome. I love this version of MJF. I think it's the best version of him by far. Man, I just don't see Roddy Strong winning this tournament. I just don't see a way.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm still more in favor of Samoa Joe, but if not him, the one that makes the most sense has got to be Roderick Strong. It just depends on where do they want to push this. I just feel like from a tournament standpoint, because Roderick Strong was like, oh, I'm going to go get in the tournament. He was going to force his way in. Like, it just, as far as story goes, it makes a lot more sense. I like where the story goes better there. Again, Samoa Joe versus MJF is definitely a better feud to sell tickets, but we don't need a tournament for that.
Well, Tony Khan.
That's the only thing I don't like. Like, why not do MJF? Let's just announce it now, MJF versus Samoa Joe at Grand Slam. And then after we're done with that, then let's do the tournament bracket to be some filler to get us to the next pay-per-view. And then to also advance the story with Roderick Strong and Adam Cole. That's what I'm saying. You know, that's the way I think it should have happened.
So Tony Khan likes doing traditions, and we had this tournament last year where Ricky Starks won it, and Ricky Starks faced MJF at Grand Slam. Remember that?
Yep.
And that was a one-off. It was it, done and done. So this could be a thing where it's Samoa Joe, he gets beat, one-off, done and done, and then we move on to Roddy and Adam Cole. This could be a vehicle where Samoa Joe is in there with MJF and Roddy gets involved and tries to screw MJF, and Adam Cole comes down and stops Roddy. And that forwards that story somehow by using Joe as a legit challenger. Because Roddy, come on, if Roddy's in there, he's not a legit challenger. He's just not. No. He's not on the level. He's messing around with fucking, I don't even know who these people are.
I didn't know who they were either.
I seriously don't know who these people are. So he's messing around with these jobbers. He's not legit. Samoa Joe's legit. That's all I'm saying. We're going to bring this up on our next topic and our last topic because this game's about to start. Mm-hmm. But I do want to bring up Orange Cassidy in that title run. When he came out last night, when Orange Cassidy came out, fucking Excalibur, the most decorated champion in AEW. Are you fucking serious? The guy's wrestled nothing but jobbers. And the first time he wrestled somebody, he got his ass beat. Okay, so you're the high school team that beat up the fucking middle school team all year or for a whole year. Congratulations, you beat nobodies. You literally beat nobodies. What are you talking about, the most decorated champion of all time, Orange Cassidy? 35 title defenses against 35 fucking tomato cans. Nobodies.
He had a couple in there, but yeah, for the most part, it was jobbers.
With zero stories.
Yeah, no stories.
The title run sucked.
I think his title run was more, it was more fitting of what the TNT title was supposed to be, which is maybe not as much story, more about matches. And that's what his was. It seems like they almost flipped him and that the TNT title now is the one with the story. And the international title is going to be like your TV title where people just go out and defend it over and over and over again. Granted, yeah, they've had some times where they had some stories, but I feel like in that belt's lineage now, more times than not, it's about the fight than it is about the story.
There's going to be a story. You saw Orange Cassidy walk away from that promo he had, which was, I'm not down with the new catchphrase. I hate it, actually.
Well, he doesn't have a catchphrase?
Yeah, I hate it. I really hate everything about this. I hate that Jon Moxley has a secondary title. I hate that AR Fox, who's a loser, who does nothing but lose, gets a title match off the bat. Like, hey, the first defense. He's the new Nyla Jax. Not Nyla Jax.
Lance Archer.
Lance Archer and Nyla Rose.
Of the mid-card?
Anytime there's a new champion, he's first shot. Hey, yep. What's up, buddy? We'll do fireworks in a minute, okay? Yeah, we'll do fireworks after the show, okay? We're doing fireworks after the show. We found sparklers from 4th of July.
Heck yeah. Good way to kick off the football season.
That's right. That's how we're celebrating. Snakes and smart sparklers, baby. You know the rules.
It's the good stuff.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah, so I think that there will be a story. I think Orange Cassidy's going to get a rematch eventually because he has to. Why else would he open the show and then Moxley come out and then they have a little stare down where he walks away? So, I mean, I'm interested in that. How long do you think Moxley holds his title?
I don't think it'll be as long or as many matches as Orange Cassidy just had it, but I don't think it's going to be really short. So, I mean, how many days, do you know how many days or how many months or whatever it was that Orange Cassidy had?
No, nor do I care.
I mean, he's had that for a long time now to have that many, to have 36 matches because you're figuring what?
When you defend it, when you defend it every single week and sometimes on Rampage too. I mean,
so at least 30 weeks that he's had it, maybe?
At least 30 weeks, yeah.
I don't see Moxie's having it quite that long. Maybe a little bit less because he's got his whole stuff going on with the BCC. So I feel like this is something. I don't know where they're going to take this right now. I don't know what direction they're going, but I don't think it'll be as long as Orange Cassidy.
So to pretty much, I'll not put a button on the show, but I want to leave this with you and have a little discussion about this. Because the most decorated champion in AEW history is not Orange Cassidy. No. They're just trying to pump. I get it. But who would you think? Who would you say off the top of your head? Who is the most decorated performer in AEW history?
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega, the most decorated. So he's been AEW champion one time, AEW tag team champions,
Trios champion. Was that once or twice?
Trios. Well, I guess you can call it twice because he won it the first night and then he got stripped and he won it again. Tag team champions was once with Paige. So you think him? Because I was thinking, Moxley's had the AEW World Heavyweight Championship 3 times.
Yeah.
He's had the International Championship once. And other than that, he hasn't done anything else, right? No other titles. And then you have Adam Page, tag team champions, and the World Championship. Like, I'm just trying to do it in my head right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Kenny Omega and Moxley are tied at the top. I would put
his number, but I feel like Omega's title run was a bigger deal than Moxley's at any point. You take the peak Omega and peak Moxley, and I think peak Omega was a little bit bigger, so I'm going to give him the tiebreaker.
Peak Omega was nice because of the story.
Yep.
Moxley's run, I don't remember the story at all. I don't remember any story. I remember he had a bunch of feuds, but I don't remember like the main story, like how Roman has a main story is the bloodline.
Yeah.
Right? Every champion should have a main story.
MJF right now has his with Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, yes. Whereas Moxley was just, I'm going to come out there and defend the title, put sticks in my head and bleed. That's Moxley right there in a nutshell. What do you think about Bryan Danielson saying that he's the MVP, the best wrestler in the world?
Bryan Danielson?
Yeah, did you see that? He said Moxley's the best wrestler in the world.
Oh, that he thinks Moxley is it?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. No, I don't think. I thought you were saying he was saying that about himself. I'm like, yeah, he could definitely make a case for that.
He would never say that. He's too not. He's too too humble. He would never.
Yeah,
say
and that. That's why I was a little confused. I was like, what? He said that? That's confusing. That doesn't
Moxley.
Seem like he would say, but yeah, him about Moxley. I don't know. Not the best.
Not the best.
Give fucking me Danielson. Trash. Give me Omega. Give me a few of MJF.
Swerve. Although Swerve did mess up his promo a lot last night, but I think everything he said was awesome. I think everything he said was true. And you know what's funny? For all you people that didn't watch Dynamite, he was pretty much cutting down Paige for not caring anymore, taking it for granted. And there's many people that want his spot that are trying, and they're not getting anywhere because the Bucks are pretty much holding everyone down. That's pretty much the gist of the promo, right?
Yep.
And when Hangman came out, and he did his little, woo, I'm a fucking cowboy, I said, man, he's gained like 20 pounds. And Swerve said that, and I'm like, damn, like, I guess everyone's done it. Do you notice it too? The dude's out of shape.
I didn't notice it right off the bat. I noticed it more after he said it.
I noticed it right off the bat.
Maybe that's, I mean, I don't think I was paying as close of attention, but I don't know. What do you think it is? It's just like that motivation to get to the top. Like what they talk about sports teams, you know, once you've got that motivation and drive, and then once you win it all, it's hard to find that motivation to want to stay on the top or to get back to the top, like after you've been there. But getting there the first time, man, you stay hungry. You want to finally get there. So I wonder, did he have that time when he had the best story going on in wrestling, and you know, and then now it's kind of like, whatever.
I think it's this, and I'm going to leave it at this, and we're going to end the show. I think that there's more to this Punk Hangman thing that we know. I think that we hear it all the time. Wrestlers get punished for their actions. Hangman was not 100% innocent in this whole ordeal. He did do a lot of things he wasn't supposed to do. He did go off script. He did go into business for himself against Punk many times on live TV and make Punk look weak. I think that he was being punished. He was like, hey, you know, you're still going to be on feature on the show, but you're not going to be the top guy. You're going to go, Triple H got punished. Triple H, right? This happens in wrestling. I think that now we're beyond this, and I think that he's going to get this push again. And I think this story with Swerve is going to get them both elevated back up where they should be. Swerve is going to get way elevated, I think, after this.
He deserves it.
And I think Paige is going to get back on the top like he should. I think this is going to be, going forward, this is the feud I care about the most.
Yep.
Because I want it to work the most. Because it's two guys that deserve to be up there, that should be main eventers, and this company is lacking star power with CM Punk leaving. It really is. We love them. We know who they are, but we want these people to become household names, yep, like a Randy Orton, like a Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins. They're just not there yet. And I would love for Swerve to be the first black AEW champion.
Yes.
And to be on top. He needs to get rid of this fucking Prince Nana guy. He needs to get rid of Brian Cage. He needs to become, where's Stokely Hathaway? That's all I got to say. Where did he go? Idea. Way better. And I'm not just comparing because they're two black managers, just a manager in sense. Where the hell did he go? Because this Prince Nana guy, he's not doing it for me.
He's not it.
Not it. He looks like he works at fucking Target. Legit. All right. We're going to leave it at that. We're going to watch some football. Chris, any final words for the show? Anything you're looking forward to on Collision?
Well, not necessarily looking forward to on Collision, but I'll just say this. I know it was a really tough decision, but Tony, I know you're watching. Now you're watching. It was the right decision. Thank you for doing it. It's going to work out in the long run.
And Tony, I'll leave you at this as well. If you need any more advice on who to release or cut, I have a whole list. Rebel, Nyla Rose.
Oh, gosh.
Sunny Kiss. I mean, I got a whole list. So if you were want to hit me up.
Sunny Kiss might be gone.
Okay. All right. Good job, Tony. Good job. We'll leave it at that. Peace out, guys. Wait. One more. You ready for this one?